I want to talk a little bit about the candlestick that we just read about. The idea of the candlestick in the tabernacle was that this was the only source of light. There was no natural light in the tabernacle. And so what does a candlestick represent? The lampstand? Well, it's interpreted for us really in Revelation, in chapters 1, 2 and 3, really, as being a symbol of God's people. And they are burning the Spirit. And it is that which gave light in the tabernacle and which pointed out the way, as it were, to the veil that separated the most holy place, that is, to the presence of God himself. And Jesus has this idea in mind when he likens us to women who are awaiting the coming of the bridegroom at night, whose oil lamps were not to be allowed to go out. And likewise, Leviticus 24 says that the lamps on the pure gold lampstand must be kept in order. They must be kept burning. So then it is by our continual burning of God's Spirit that we show others the way to fellowship with God. And so we are the light of the world. When Jesus says that, I think that he probably had in mind the way that the candlestick was the only natural light. And it's quite clear then that there is no other light in this world, that there is no ultimately other light apart from the light of the Lord Jesus manifested through his Spirit in us. So then it is by our witness according to the Spirit of Christ that we are the light of this world. He is the light, but we are the light. Like he says, I am the light of the world. And then he also says, you are the light of the world. We are him insofar as we have the Spirit of Christ. And there's a connection between the Spirit of Christ and witness. Again, when we read about the witness of Noah for 120 years, and Peter talks about that, that while the ark was preparing, there was a witness being made by Noah. He was preaching, as it were, through the Spirit of Christ that was in him. And through that, Christ, as it were, went and preached to the spirits in prison. Not that Jesus personally existed, but the idea was that Noah had the equivalent of the Spirit of Christ in his demeanor, in his manifestation of the Spirit of God, because God's Spirit, God's way, God's character, personality, name, etc., are all essentially the same Spirit of the Lord Jesus. His character and Spirit was that of the Father. And this then is our essential witness in this world. For many years I lived with the idea that preaching or evangelism was giving tracts to people, was giving people information. And of course that is so. That is not unrelated, but the essential witness is the Spirit of Christ, which we show in daily life. And of course we see this so many times, that somebody becomes a truly born-again Christian, they have the Spirit of Christ, and that witness persuades other people, those with whom they live. So then the candlestick is us. And always under the law of Moses, the candlestick or the menorah was spoken of in the singular. There's only one candlestick. But you find David, 1 Chronicles 28:15, and other places, he makes multiple such candlesticks. So he didn't quite get the idea. His idea of religion and serving God in a grandiose way became bigger than the pole of true spirituality. So then, we are collectively the manifestation of God's Spirit to the world. Perhaps one person may demonstrate more patience, another may represent, manifest more kindness, or whatever. But between us, we should be, in another metaphor, the body of Christ, the face of Jesus Christ to this world. Now, the actual word menorah, which is translated candlestick, is the word really for a yoke. And of course, Jesus in Matthew 11:30 says that he is the yoke that we are to take upon ourselves. In other words, him and his Spirit are the unique way of yoking people together. This is why John 17, the unity between believers should be so great that it converts the world. The menorah, the yoked candlestick, was to give the light, the only light, which would show the way to the most holy place and fellowship with God. And the candlestick was made of beaten gold. I suppose you could take that as meaning that blow by blow, we are shaped into that candlestick. But it's presented very much as a tree. Numbers 8 talks about from its base to its flowers, it was beaten work. And the various branches on the candlestick are seen as tree branches with buds and with blossoms. So then, the idea then is that we are a tree of life, and Proverbs says that in so many words, that by speaking wisdom, we are a tree of life to the world. We are the only light in their darkness. And it's insofar as we realize that, that we are this world's only chance in that sense. We are all they will see of Jesus. That once you realize that, then you realize the critical importance of witness. In our lifestyle, in our conscious introduction of the gospel to men and women, we are their only chance. Now you could say, yeah, well, I fail, but I'm sure God will raise up some other way. Well, maybe, but I don't think we are to presume upon that. We are placed where we are in this world, in the situations that we're in, so that we might be the light to these people. And nobody who comes into contact with you came in contact with you by chance. I feel ashamed that I live in a large tower block, and in my tower block there are 48 apartments. And you know, I mean, I have stuck leaflets in everyone's letterboxes every now and again, but I'm ashamed that I don't really know most of those people. And Jesus comes, and by God's grace, I'm going to be in his kingdom. Well, those guys are going to be like, but you were the bloke with glasses, yeah, who lived in flat number 9. Why didn't you tell me? You know? And I don't have any great answer to that. And once you realize that we are their only chance, we are really planet Earth's last hope. We really are. And we live in, you know, the world's last night. We really do. We live at the end of all things. We have this huge need to be their witness and to lead them from darkness to light. Of course, in Zechariah chapter 4, we have another candlestick with 7 lamps upon it. And the 7 lamps, we're told, are the 7 eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. So what is this then? Is this us, or is it these eyes of the Lord running to and fro through the earth? Well, that phrase is also used really about the angels, who are God's eyes. He makes his angels spirits, and they run to and fro in the earth. And this candlestick is fed by the Spirit, by 7 pipes to each of the lamps. I think the idea then is that in our witness we are not alone, but that God is feeding us with his Spirit, and we are associated with the angels in heaven because they are using us, or they want to use us, to make the witness of the Spirit in this world. And the candlestick was made of gold, we're told, and I think in the initial context of Zechariah, the idea is that this is the ideal picture of the returned community, of the restored Judah. The sons of Zion were as fine gold, Jeremiah says. The idea was that they would return to the land and that they would be the light of the world around them. But sadly, they failed in that. And yet, ultimately, this vision that Zechariah has is fulfilled and reinterpreted in Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, where the ecclesias, where the people of God, as in the Christian church, take over from them. And the essence of this vision is fulfilled. My point is that we also can fail, but in any work of witness, any attempt to show the light in the darkness, you have God's Spirit behind you. This is why when Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel, he says, and I am with you unto the end of the age, that he is with us. His Spirit, in terms of the vision in Zechariah 4, is with us. The angels, his eyes running to and fro throughout the whole earth, they are also with us as we take the gospel into the whole earth. And as you try to fulfill that great commission, I assure you that you will find the very special presence of God's Spirit, the angels, and the Lord Jesus and the Father himself.